This is the Nightcap with Tim Murray and Super Bowl champion Sean King on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The nightcap. It is a glorious day. It is a football Friday, middle of
yes,
October.
It is
a lot of gangrene in town. That's nothing to do with Big Ball's feet. That's the Philadelphia Eagles fans that are going to be in this city. That is Sean King, Super Bowl champ. That is Big Balls. You see him up at Stadium Swim. Wilbo is what his friends call him. And this is the man, Derek Stevens. Boys, I don't know. I just got a little hop in my step. I know it's not the greatest slate ever on both the college and the NFL front, but after last year, a full weekend of football, I don't complain about anything. We got games on tonight. We got the Knights taking on the Edmonton Oilers. That's where Banksy's at tonight. So he was saying, I won't say what he was saying, but he likes the Oilers this year. I don't know if that pertains to tonight, but he likes the Oilers this year.
Oh, he loves the Oilers. He bet the Oilers straight up. He's betting the Oilers minus 1.5. He's betting the Oilers minus 2.
I didn't know.
Oh, yeah. He's
I didn't
all
want to
in
bring
every
out the
which way.
Look, I was trying to be a company, you know, hometown guy. I knew he wanted the Oilers tonight. He told me that last night, but I didn't know if that was like public, you know, knowledge that he was going to the Knights game, representing Circa.
Hey,
what's
the motto on the show?
Pulling for our pockets.
That's right. We're pulling for our pockets. Right?
There we go.
Yeah, that doesn't always mean signing with the team that's
right,
close
Banks
to
the team. Banksy's a value player.
Absolutely.
I agree.
He's all about the Oilers. We got a potential celebration tonight in Houston. 1-0 right now in the top of the six. Is the no-no still going on? Because right now, as of last check, I don't think the Red Sox had a hit. Luis Garcia has been pitching quite well down there in Houston.
Some kind of way, I took the over.
You took the maybe
5-0 to the over in the series, you know. Then I've got Dwight Gooden with this Jerry curl on the mound tonight. Like, what is going on?
Look at this crowd in Houston.
Crazy.
Look at this crowd.
Crazy.
Everybody's standing. This is unbelievable.
That's what I mean. Going to a good baseball game with a fan base that knows how to cheer properly for baseball. I know they're cheaters. The players are, but the fans aren't cheaters.
Oh man! Shout out to Dusty Baker.
I love Dusty Baker. Yeah. He's not a cheater. He wasn't there when they were cheating. He had to come in after the whole cheating situation. Alex Cora, you could argue.
Oh,
boy.
Get out the park! Oh my!
Is that gone?
Nope.
No. Oh,
off the wall.
Triple.
Might be in the park. Might be in the park.
Triple. No. There we
how,
go.
Derek? How has
I could have made that
with this going on? With we got. Baseball playoffs, we've got NFL, we've got college. Is this handle-wise one of the busiest time of year for you guys?
Well, obviously October is. I mean, October is going to be the greatest month that we've ever had from our company on handle. Some of this has to do with calendar.
Sure.
I mean, you got five football weekends,
oh,
of course.
That's right.
But no, even if it was a four football weekend month, volume's just been incredible. It's been incredible. You know, we're enjoying seeing how things play out. We've been up in Iowa for 2 weeks.
Oh, nice. That's
right. It's a lot of fun to see these downloads and things like that. You know, we've been up in Colorado for a while, and it's great to see these handles jump.
You know, business-wise, I'm always curious because, you know, different spots here in Las Vegas. Now, companies like DraftKings and PointsBet and FanDuel, they're in, you know, all of they've kind of this has been their model, but for you, Westgate, spots like that, they started here and now they're starting to expand. I'm curious, as a business model, you know, when you're located in Colorado and you're located in Iowa, when the Broncos are playing in Colorado, you're going to get an influx of that. How do you make sure you don't do you keep the lines the same or try to in all of the spots? I'm always curious about that.
Yeah, you know, Matt Metcalf has attempted to try to do that.
Yeah.
But I would tell you, it's actually not possible.
Right.
And the reason I say that is, you know, we run multiple systems here. So we run the stadium system in Nevada. We run an IGT system in Colorado. We run a different version of stadium in Iowa, which means the inputs all are different. So guys like Chris Bennett and his team back there, if they have to make a move, because let's say the market moves by something significant, a point.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they have to physically do this on each system. So there are there are times when, yes, when the lines will not be the same.
Okay.
Even though Metcalf's model is to keep the lines the same everywhere. We don't shade, you know, in Colorado or anything else like that. But timing wise, it just happens that way.
Right.
Ooh, franchise. I love when franchise gets the call.
That was just way too quick.
Whoa, franchise. Nice.
What's up, big dog?
Appreciate you, Chaz. Appreciate you.
And then I like hanging around here. We get to know the good people of Circa.
I have not met a bad person that Derek employs here at Circa yet. I will say that.
And a big boss.
That's very nice of you to say that.
I mean it. I appreciate it. I mean it. They're all great people.
For me, hit or miss for me.
Now, Wilbo is probably more big time than most of the people that we meet.
That's true. Yeah.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves here. Yeah,
but, you know, I mentioned with the Eagles here in town a couple weeks ago, it was Chicago, and that was crazy. That also coincided with the Wilder Fury fight, so there was just a whole lot going on.
Yeah.
But how does this weekend compare? Another October weekend. Philadelphia Eagles here. I think there's a big, the EDM thing is going on?
Yeah, EDC's going on.
EDC thing.
It's been 2.5 years since we've had the Electric Daisy Carnival. You know, that's right up my alley.
I know. You're all about it.
I like all kinds of music. But I'm more EDM than I am. Country's on the other end of the spectrum, but I love EDM. it's a great thing that Pasquale Rotella did, bringing it to Las Vegas. And think about how many people he's brought to this town.
Yeah.
It's pretty amazing. It's awesome. Pretty amazing.
I've never been, so.
You going?
I might stick my head out on Fremont a little bit just to see, you know, take in a couple.
Big Balls will take you around.
Smells.
Sure.
Why not? Yeah, if he can make it.
What's that mean?
I mean, he's chain drinking at 7, so by the time I get him at 10, he's trying to sneak out.
You know, what is this Friday different than any other Friday we've
true.
Ever done?
Yeah, I mean, it's pretty much the same thing.
Because he snuck out on me the last two times.
Well, that's because you got to
be back at
7
in the morning.
You're supposed to be here, you know?
I never got here.
True. I know.
Sneaking out is
now,
when you leave.
You do know about EDC. You know how long it goes, right?
No.
The last note ends at sunrise.
Oh, so they've got like a ritual kind of thing.
Oh, yeah, okay. Absolutely. Music does not start until sunset, and then there's a little bit of an intro. I mean, in Las Vegas Motor Speedway, it takes about 3 hours to get people in.
Right.
It takes about 3 hours to get people out, but music plays all the way till sunrise.
And this is rock and roll, I'm assuming? what is this? I'm so...
this is...
Yeah, Billy Joel's there. It's
like,
still rock and roll to him.
The bank, like, looking for water.
Maybe a little Tiesto, that type of thing.
Electric dance music.
Like like techno-ish.
Yeah, like bass, yeah. Okay. Heavy bass. Okay. Yeah, heavy right. bass. It's not rock and roll.
And everybody gets dressed up.
I wish, that'd be fun.
Everybody has an outfit. Like if you were you and I were going tonight, you know, I'd have an outfit on the side. You'd have to have an outfit. You got to plan this. Don't roll in with
does
us.
Does it have to consist of black and leather? I mean, what's the outfit look like?
These are like light up neon.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's a throwback. Okay, I got you. Okay, now the picture's starting to form. Okay, now
I don't
got
know
it.
If that picture that's forming your head.
I don't
is
think.
Actually
yeah, I don't know if it's still accurate. Is this rock and roll that you speak of that is taking place?
Hello, fellow kids.
70% of outfits have batteries. You have to think through that.
And 70% of outfits don't have 70% of the outfit.
I'm all for that.
Yeah, it's good.
Are you going, Wilbo?
No, I'm not. I will not be attending.
You'll be there.
We've rarely missed it. We're gonna see what happens on Sunday night.
And it's at the Speedway.
I have an outfit. If we have to go,
okay. Speedway's up there, man. I didn't know. I had never been that way out of town since. Only times I've left town since driving into town were via airplane or I went to Arizona. But I went to Utah last weekend. And, man, the Speedway's out there.
Yep.
So is that what all this traffic was tonight? I almost pulled the shack tonight.
Oh, yeah. Actually, you know what? We should have talked about that.
Oh, my God.
Because you're driving from the south up here.
Yeah, I was coming from Henderson.
The 15 is jacked up.
Man.
It's been jacked up from 3 o'clock on. It's all going to EDC.
I'm in the car, and I'm like, oh, my God, I'm going to be shack. Like, it's going to be 7:15 before I get here. Like, it was not moving. It was bumper to bumper. I was like, is there a wreck? You know, somebody decided to, you know, just go all loco, like in the middle of the 15, but it's the EDM.
It's just a rock and roll concert.
Electric Daisy Carnival. And be honest, you beat the traffic because by 10 o'clock, it's really jacked
up. I was trying to figure it was a car, a little smaller, white hatchback looking vehicle. had more people that should have been inside the car, and it had Hawaii plates, and the dudes were like hanging out the window. So now it makes sense.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, there you go.
Okay.
And that people stay there, right? There's tents outside.
Yeah. Some people can stay there. I would say
Wilbo's staying there.
Maybe about 5,000 people actually camp there. Everybody else comes back to hotel.
I live at the Speedway.
We're going to talk through this.
There you go.
You got to educate me.
There's your latest on the happenings here in Las Vegas. So you got that going on. And you guys didn't answer my question. Do you anticipate a lot of, have you noticed an uptick? A lot of, trying to remember, was it 610? A lot of those area codes coming here? A lot of Philly?
EDC draws from all 50 states, draws from a lot of countries. I mean, it's
well, the Eagles are playing the Raiders.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're talking about Eagles. Yeah. I'm sorry. I'm not familiar with the 610 area code. I didn't know that.
But we certainly 610.
But we've certainly seen more Eagles fans.
What is their thing? E-A-G-L-E-S. Eagles. Isn't that what they...
Oh, yeah.
That's their little deal.
They remind you how to spell their nickname.
Yeah, for all you Eagle fans that are listening and watching, just always remember, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers closed down the Vet and opened up Lincoln Financial by kicking that booty.
How about this? When he was playing for the Bucs, they won the Super Bowl, and they had to go on the road...
To open the next season. Because Philly was opening a brand new stadium.
Who cares?
And they had Sylvester Stallone in the staircase, and they were hyped up, and then we proceeded to do what the Bucks do.
I went to college in Pennsylvania. I had no idea that they chant their letters of their name, and then the first Sunday of college, all these Philadelphians were screaming their letters.
Passionate.
I'm like, congratulations.
Hey, Astros got out of that. We got to talk sports a little bit. Right?
All right, let's talk some sports. We got to keep these guys engaged. Enough of the rock and roll concert that's happening in town.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in this segment of the Nightcap, being brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches. Zyn is working to create a world where you can enjoy life on your own terms. Zyn Nicotine Pouches are a smoke-free, spit-free, and hassle-free tobacco alternative that can be enjoyed on the go anywhere and anytime, so you never miss a minute of the game or the tailgate party. Available in 10 varieties, including spearmint, coffee, and citrus. Zyn can be found at convenience stores nationwide, so you can find your Zyn wherever you are. Zyn's nicotine pouches are clean and discreet with no lingering smell. Plus, it's easy to use indoors or out, making it the perfect complement to your everyday. Also, Zyn comes in two strengths, so you can control your nicotine satisfaction. Zyn contains nicotine. It's only for adult nicotine consumers, 21 and over. Learn more. Find your local realtor at Zyn.com. That's Zyn.com. Warning, this product does contain nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. It is the Nightcap here on VSiN. You know, the original tweet that went out about tonight's show said you guys were joining at 7:15, which, you know, it's pretty much what happened because we just talked about EDC for the first 10 minutes of this show.
Yeah, well, we figured you had a guest that didn't show up. We would have been happy sitting in the bar. We just weren't sure what was going on. It doesn't really matter to us.
I got the text from Big Balls.
We're going to be here anyway.
I got the text from Big Balls like, hey, we coming on right at the dump start? I'm like, yeah. I'm like, oh, yeah. a little glitch. We're good to go. We're here rolling. That's Sean King down there.
Absolutely.
A proud coach. How about his guy? How about everything that man taught D'Ernest Johnson last night? Came to fruition on the field in Cleveland. That was pretty cool. And the stories, there was a DM, right, that he sent to all of the, I guess, AAF
I think it was
people.
United Football League it was or
yeah,
something.
Was the American Alliance.
Right.
Alliance.
He ended up playing for Steve Spurrier.
Yeah, the Apollos.
Apollos. And they were undefeated. I remember one day, like, they just closed the doors of the league, like, after, like, five games. So
did he just have a bad, like, draft day? Or?
He ran slow on pro day. Then we changed systems. His junior, senior year, and he wasn't utilized properly, let's just say. So, extremely talented. He's actually Edgerrin James' cousin.
Really?
Yeah.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, so I texted him last night. Like I sent him a funny text.
Wow, he played tough.
He did.
And with an offensive line that went in that was a little bit beat up, He played tough. I mean, what a game he had.
I tried, you know, to tell my Glazers and you know, Jason Light, you know, that guy can really play. I got another kid that I coach, Marlon Mack.
Oh, yeah.
Who's in Indianapolis. He's in the same situation. He's behind Jonathan Taylor and Raheem Hines. So, you know, a lot of times opportunity. The thing I love about the Earnest, unlike a.k.a. a guy like Ben Simmons, who had a deficiency, he's not working on getting better. He has an opportunity now to play, and he says he's not ready. The Earnest just kept working. And then when his opportunity came, he didn't know that Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt were going to get hurt. He could have been pouting, upset. He just kept working. He got his shot. He was ready. And now he's going to get paid. He's a free agent.
He lived
a year.
Good, man.
He's going to be highly sought after.
Yep. He absolutely will. Man. Yeah, that's yeah. Awesome. That's great. You got to feel good about
that. We've got to go ahead and get ahead of the ball and pick him up now on the trout.
The trout. Yeah. The trout. That, unfortunately, he's already been picked up.
Oh,
he somebody got picked up early. I mean, oh. We're going deep here. So.
Somebody already got him?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. He'll be the starting running back somewhere next year.
And that's why you don't spend first-round picks on running backs.
Absolutely
because
not.
Because they're everywhere. And that's not a knock. There's just so many talented people out there, like Dearness Johnson.
How long is Chubb out?
I don't know.
I want to say Chubb will be back before Hunt, if I'm not mistaken.
That's correct, yeah. They got a bye week coming up, yeah. So we'll see what happens.
But that was, I mean, he was tremendous.
And look, the guys that are really, really good at running back, Derrick Henry was a second-round pick, if I'm not mistaken.
He was?
Yeah, you just
look. This isn't a knock on players who go in the first round. Christian McCaffrey went in the first round, but he has a hard time staying on the field.
Yeah.
You know, there's a lot of great. I mean, Saquon Barkley's a phenomenal talent.
Yep.
Has trouble staying on the field. What's the drop off from him to Dearness Johnson or you know other people like that? So it is. I know it's a philosophy that Mel Kiper has been one to scream and yell about. Never draft a running back in the first round.
Can I give a scoring update?
Please do. What do we got?
Banksy's all in Edmonton.
And, what do we got?
And, is it 2-0 now?
No, Zach Whitecloud scored the one, so it's up 1-0.
1-0.
All right.
But again, like,
take that,
I've watched Vegas, and I'm not an expert yet on the Golden Knights, but I know what Stanley Cup championship hockey looks like, and they got some work to do on defense and then goalie.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I would have presumed that you'll get 2 or 3 goals against them at some point.
Yeah, I'm sure right now we are getting absolutely hammered at this commercial.
on the end game.
I've been reading the end game. We are getting hammered on end game right now on Edmonton.
So we've got a new strategy with the local college football team. We're going to bet UNLV first half the rest of the year and bet the opponent no matter what second half.
I feel for those young men. I feel for everyone involved.
Who wins the games first? You know, the Lions
or UNLV?
Or UNLV.
I mean, UNLV was on a nice covering run, but they didn't even cover last night. You know, they went off 6, and they lost by 7. I said I wasn't going to do it on the show, and then I was standing over there with you after the show, and UNLV kicks a field goal. They go up 20-13. I looked down at my app. San Jose State's +4. I'm like, I got to. I mean, I got to. Sorry, hometown team. I hope you win, but then they didn't. I mean, and that was tough. So, last night, you mentioned it briefly, that game landing 3, not ideal?
Yeah, we're, you know, going into the fourth quarter.
Look at Big Balls. Big Balls doesn't even answer the question. He just starts laughing. Because what'd you guys open, 5?
You know, we have all our spreadsheets. We have our dashboards, all that. But on big games like Thursday night, Sunday night, Monday night, Chris Bennett goes through the matrix. And the matrix is, you know, the lands on 48, 49, 50, 51, like all the way through. And then, you know, do the Browns win by 10, by 8, by every little combination. And we're looking at this thing because it takes into account teasers, parlays, all this other stuff at that time. And then we had an individual that made 5 very, very large bets. Parlays. All Dodgers, you know, when the Braves are up 2-0, it's all right. Then all of a sudden, but he's laying 1.5, laying 2.5. So these things pay out a lot. And then beginning of the fourth quarter, Chris Bennett says, just FYI, 3 is really, really bad.
I mean,
I don't mean to laugh at your pain, but
at that point, I mean, don't send the text.
You knew it was happening. At that point, you knew it was coming.
Yeah. You remember on Super Bowl a couple years ago, we had that shirt made.
Oh, yeah.
The 3 with the circle.
No 3.
No 3.
Oh.
That was all. I mean, I was so disappointed in the Broncos. Of course, I took Broncos money line.
He bet against his guy.
I was looking for D'Ernest to score a touchdown, anytime touchdown, but it wasn't on the board. I think it was on the app as far as a player prop. I did, but I was, again, a lot was going on yesterday.
Just want to double check.
I got distracted. But
double check.
Denver has the ball down 10, and they're in like 4-minute offense mode. And I'm sitting here telling Tim Murray, I'm like, this is going to hurt them at the end of this game. Like, it's going to be about 4 minutes left when Cleveland got it. I say it's going to be closer to almost 2 minutes. And it's like what happened. Like, I don't know what Vic and crew were doing on the sideline, but it just baffles me at the mismanagement, you know, late in games and teams that should know better. Like, if you're down 10, you got to be a 2-minute offense, anything under about 9 minutes left in the fourth.
By the way, going back to the college game, Matt Heumann's going to join us in studio later in the show. He was there. A bunch of people were at that game last night. I saw a bunch of tweets.
Time out. Yeah. Matt Heumann is coming here tonight?
The man, the myth, the legend is reportedly going to be. Yeah, you better get out of here.
What time?
8 o'clock.
All right. We hanging tonight.
Oh, boy.
So save me a seat, please.
But UNLV ran out of time. They had the ball with 7 minutes to go. That was a 7-plus-minute drive down 27-20, and they ran out of time. How is that possible? How?
I was watching it.
I was, too.
Yeah.
That was also, I think, targeting at the end of the game. I mean, that quarterback got
lit. You know what I found when it comes
nice
to...
It's nice to have night games, though.
Yeah.
The lower level of
football, big balls, don't get me started.
Less they call those targeting calls. I mean, when you're looking at Sun Belt, Mountain West, they don't. Those refs don't call a lot of targeting. But you get a SEC or Big Ten game, I mean, if you hit anybody hard, I mean, it's flags coming from the stands. Like, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
I'm going to track that. I got somebody in research. I'm going to help them track that. How many targeting calls have been called?
He's hired his own research.
Non-Power 5
conferences. I was going to say, you got research?
Yeah.
It has to be less.
It's his intern. But yes, I did mention this a couple times on the social media world. There are no games starting after 4:30 on Saturday. None on television. Hawaii and New Mexico State starts at 9. I mean, what are we doing?
They know EDM is in town.
Yeah.
They got to come hear this good rock and roll, baby.
All right. We got business to take care of. We got Survivor. We got Big Balls Play of the Week. We got Banksy's Play of the Week. Franchise might give out a play, too. Who knows? It is the nightcap here on VSiN. What we got? Oh,
I've got three guarantees for Survivor.
I can't wait to hear them. It's the nightcap here on VSiN.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
The Sports Betting National Championship is coming up November 5th through the 7th, and VSiN will provide coverage of the main event all weekend long, including live on-location updates for all the action. Visit vsin.com/SBNC for more information and learn how you can enter for a chance to test your skills and win cash, including the $1 million top prize. That's vsin.com/SBNC. Houston leading 2-0, top of the 7th inning in Houston right now. We've got a college football game, a little Pac-12 after dark. Isn't that nice? Pac-12 after dark. Interesting, and we do it on a Friday, not a Saturday. We're on the under here, me and Mr. King, under 46.5. That was White's favorite play of the week. We got a lot of business to take care of here in this final segment. Very interesting Survivor week, because the obvious, you would think, if you're at home playing with your buddies, is Arizona. But not in Circa. And that is going to be interesting. I am fascinated to come 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon, 4 o'clock Pacific, when you come on VSiN and you unveil with Jeff Benson how many Survivor selections, how many people pick Arizona because they play on Christmas. Yeah, a new wrinkle.
You know, I did a little research today to see what's available. So, yeah, you got Arizona, 18-point favorite. It stands out to you. And then you got the Rams, you know, as a big favorite against the Lions. Now, the Rams mathematically cannot be the biggest pick because so many people took the Rams earlier in the contest. So I think the Rams are out. But Arizona, I actually look back at the first 6 weeks and how people made their plays. I think we have a pretty smart contestant pool here. With the help of VSiN and what we did with Circa, I think there's going to be a lot of people holding Arizona back as they're looking to this Christmas week. So I think Arizona will not be the biggest play tomorrow.
You could look at the Buccaneers. That could be, I guess, you look at the Buccaneers' schedule, and after this week, there's no obvious spot to use them. They're, you know, a 12-point favorite at home against Chicago. And then you look until, like, week 17, there's really no obvious spot to use them. So, obviously, the goal is to stick around as long as you can. And saving Tampa is great in theory until the Panthers or the Jets, but got to get there first. So I think my guess on the most used team would be Tampa this week. That would be my guess.
Do you want me to take a guess right now?
Yeah. Patriots?
My guess is going to go Patriots, then Tampa.
Okay.
And the reason I say Patriots is because there's not a clear-cut game you would take the Patriots again.
That's true.
Until week 16, which in Circa is week 19. They play at home against Jacksonville.
Right.
You could say Jacksonville won't be able to go into New England. But as the schedule goes on, as bad as the Jacksonville's been early, but you don't know. Trevor Lawrence might develop, and you might not want to sit on the Patriots. So if I had to take a guess, and this is just a guess, I think it's going to go Patriots and Bucks 1-2. And I think those are the two that are going to stand out. I don't think people are going to take Arizona because I do think we got a lot of smart contestants here that are going to hold them back, which I think is the right thing to do. I've been talking about that's the one team this year you got to hold back.
Now, I'm an expert at Survivor. I made it through a whole week. So
with two entries?
Yeah, absolutely. Say it again, Doc.
Do you get money for that? If you make it through a week?
Yeah, it's the booby prize of Survivor. You get to talk about it on VSiN.
Yeah.
We really might need to come up with one. I might be eligible for that in hindsight.
The booby prize.
Yeah, yeah. Hey, I'm going to give two off-the-grid guaranteed victories. Oh, Colts and Saints. Garoppolo's not healthy. He's only playing because Trey Lance is banged up and can't play. Just telling you, the Colts, they still view themselves as a playoff team. They will go to San Francisco and win. And the Saints will beat the Seahawks.
I think the Saints have the potential to be the third highest selection. Mm-hmm. I think the Saints, when you look at their schedule on our wonderful grid, still sell at the gift shop.
Nice. Always selling.
And the Saints have a reason why I think a lot of people will play the Saints.
Mm-hmm. I'm telling you, buy the Colts now.
No. Don't play. Listen. Don't play an underdog. Please don't do that. Thank
Paul
you.
Paul Banksy.
Banksy taking the Dolphins. What are you doing?
Yeah, all right. Let's get to the VSiN Nightcap Survivor. Now you pulled the double option last week. So
I was gone, by the way, and then I checked our spreadsheet and I'm like, whoa, he went with the double
option. He went with the double option.
I didn't hear anything about it.
He went Jags and Dolphins, so he is down to three, but he survived, and we're on to week 7. Big balls last week. You went two Packers, one Chiefs. Both came home. I went all four on the Colts. So, you know, as much as I wanted to listen to Sean, I can't. I can't do it this week. So, I am going three Patriots at home against the Jets, and I didn't want to put it all into the Patriots basket. There was part of me that thought, I don't know, the Jets are kind of frisky. So I did one Buccaneers just to be safe of my four selections. Derek, what do you got?
Well, I'm going, I have the Bucs available, and this was the weekend I took the Bucs. I'm keeping a pretty standard procedure.
You're not messing around.
I am not creating this spider web, which you created for yourself a couple weeks ago. But you had three that got knocked out. So currently, on your three selections, you have Patriots, but out of your three selections, you have different teams that are eligible.
I could have gone $2, one Patriots, or two Patriots, $1.
Correct.
Yeah. So
because you used the Buccaneers twice in week two, but one of those selections got knocked out with the Saints in week four.
Yep.
And this is what Tim's doing now. Tim has the difference here where he's taking the $1 here to stay alive. Mm-hmm. So
can I make a suggestion, please, before we get to
I can't use the Colts.
I know. Do we have to continue just stab my guy Banksy in the back?
Yes.
I mean, do we have to have the eliminated next his name? We know he's out.
Because whenever we get eliminated, the Lions this week.
Whenever we get eliminated, we're
I mean, the graphic's right there. You see the graphic right there, dude? He's got a big eliminated on Banksy. Yeah.
Eliminated.
Tweet that one out.
He wasn't a fan of the graphic last week. He was not a fan.
Just to say, played the Titans in week three. Played the Dolphins in week four. Excuse me. So
Titans another guaranteed win Sunday.
I do like the Titans. Yeah. Go ahead and
guaranteed win.
Yeah.
Bet them on the money line. Don't put them in a thing called Survivor. I would just that would be my recommendation to the good people out there. Banksy's not here. He's at this hockey game, which
there
is
he is right there. He's at the glass.
Yeah, we're seeing
him on TV. He's on the glass.
He said it's tied up 1-1. He is going with it now. The official stenographer of the nightcap. What did Banks give out last week?
Last week, let's see the great. Former Boston Bruin gave us Michigan State, very smart to ride with Sparty. They covered, but he also went against the hometown Rebels.
Yes, he did.
And it bit him. Mm-hmm. Utah State did not cover the 7.
So 1-1.
Yep.
So he gave us just one pick this week.
Not only was he absent, but he must have been hydrating heavily because he went against the Fighting Lamar Jacksons.
I was.
With a team flying all the way from Los Angeles to Baltimore. And that, the good thing was he didn't have to sweat.
No, there was no sweat there.
From start to finish.
That was impressive. That was one of the more impressive performances of the year. But Banksy, it's going against the future servicemen and women of this country. So good job, Banksy. He's going with Wake Forest.
He's Canadian.
Laying the 3 against Army. He's Canadian. he's going against the triple option. I took Army earlier this week at 3.5.
You guys going to make another bet?
He's not here, so I guess we can't. Big balls, before we hit a break, what do we got?
Well, what's our motto on this show, Sean?
Go big, go home.
Pulling for our pockets.
Okay. I am taking the absolute chalk, and I am making my big balls play of the week. The Rams -16 at home against the Detroit Lions, who are looking like they're going 0-17.
So Jared Goff revenge doesn't play into it for you?
Have you watched Jared Goff throw the football this season?
Dan Campbell has. He called him out for it. Derek, we got 30 seconds before we get. Do you have a most intriguing?
I'm going to say I did not know what Big Ball's pick was. We were having drinks before we came in here, but I assumed it had to be the Rams because I know you like the Rams. I know you like Stafford. I know what we've talked about the Lions. You know, we just posted, will the Lions go 0-17? I did a Detroit radio show today with Valenti, and we posted, will the Lions go 0-17? Very intriguing bet. And I figured you were taking the Rams, and we're going to have a lot of fun watching this game together on Sunday.
7.5, the title for the most touchdowns, completed passing touchdowns, goes to Matt Stafford this weekend.
That's Big Balls. That's Derek Stevens. This is the Nightcap Charge. Paul Charchian up next.
This is the Nightcap on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Indeed helps find great hires fast. Indeed is your all-in-one platform for interviewing, screening, and hiring high-quality people. Visit Indeed.com/credit. That's Sean King. I'm Tim Murray. Matt Eumann's going to join us in studio, top of the hour. Thanks again to Derek Stevens, Wilbo, a.k.a. Big Balls, for always hanging out with us on Friday. But the good guests just keep on rolling, you know, because people don't want to hear, well, they don't want to hear me talk. They want to hear you talk. But let's bring in Paul Charchian, guillotineleagues.com, where you can check him out, at Paul Charchian on Twitter. He's one of the OGs in the fantasy football world. Oh. Always great to talk to Charch. And Charch, we were talking about it last night. I'm curious if you caught the D'Ernest Johnson fever that that my co-host here was. He was already on board. He was all in on him back in his days at USF.
That was an incredible performance, and not just because there were running lanes to be had here, but D'Ernest Johnson was making a lot of his own yards and was an incredibly tough tackle. I was so impressed. The elusiveness, a little bit of power mixed in there that I didn't know we'd get. Now, we saw him for stretches of last year, and he averaged 5 yards a carry last year, and we knew that he was okay, but we had never seen him like go carry an offense at the NFL level. And Sean, you must have coached this kid up because he just carried an offense. Yeah. And man, that was a hell of a performance. You know, Kareem Hunt's not coming back for a month. D'Ernest Johnson is going to have a role in that offense for at least these next like four games.
Absolutely. I want him to continue on this path. I couldn't happen to a better person and be one of the most sought after free agents at the end of the season. That's really what I'm hoping, you know, transpires, because he's talented. He deserves it. I was happy, man. I was proud. I was proud. My God, made me proud.
Yeah, he was, I mean.
Hell yeah. Did
go ahead, Charge.
You saw him. The stories of him of him reaching out to all the AAF teams, trying to just, like, get a chance to get on a roster. I mean, what a great story. How do you not root for a kid like that? It's fantastic. I love the story, but even better than that is the fact that the kid really can play and at the NFL level.
He was lowering the boom. He was keeping those legs churning. That final drive was something to watch. We're talking to Paul Charchian. Going to join us on most Fridays. Love talking to Charch. He and I go way back. I know he's on with Mitch and Paul as well. Is it Friday or Thursday mornings you're on with the morning guys?
Thursday mornings at 8:45 my time. It'd be 6:45 your time. Yeah, a.m.
You close down. Follow the money. You do each and every Thursday. But I want to jump to a game that is interesting. I don't know if it's going to be in Sean's bankroll, but you got Kansas City visiting Tennessee. We just saw Tennessee in a primetime spot as a dog, and they took care of business. Now they're a dog again at home, and you look at that leaky defense that Kansas City has, and I think a lot of people are going to stare at Derrick Henry, and his props, his player props, are just out of control, understandably so.
Right.
But when you look at the quarterback, you know, what jumped out at me, Charts, was that A.J. Brown's back, and he looked good on Monday. So Ryan Tannehill's passing yards hanging around 247 or so. What do you expect from the signal caller of Tennessee on Sunday afternoon?
I think this is a great sneaky play. Wrong team's favored, by the way. But let's just talk about Tannehill for a second, because all eyes are on Derrick Henry. Mm-hmm. And I love the notion that everybody's taking their eye off the ball. And Derrick Henry is, sure, he'll have a role in this game. There's no, I'm sure he will. But Tannehill, to me, is the sneaky play. 247 yards is a very attainable number. Normally, Tannehill labors under these Derrick Henry-heavy game plans that reduce his throwing opportunities, and understandably so. The team ranks 20th in passes thrown. But Henry and the Chiefs are going, they're never going to have like the big lead in this game in all probability. Chiefs may have a lead for a while. They might even have a big lead for a while. And even if they don't, Tannehill's going to have to pass. Chiefs' pass defense has been straight up garbage. They're allowing the eighth most passing yards, multiple quarterback touchdowns in four of the past five games, and touchdowns don't matter for our line here, but the cornerback matchups are abysmal for the Chiefs, and they're all in the favor of A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, who will play in this game. The Kansas City cornerbacks, Mike Hughes, L'Jarius Sneed, and Charvarius Ward, if he can go, have all had horrible seasons. And if those guys can't stop A.J. Brown and Julio Jones, behind them is the worst safety in the league. Daniel Sorensen's allowing the most passing yards of any safety. A.J. Brown and Julio Jones are going to have big plays. Tannehill's going to get past the 247 number. I think These lines makers are sometimes lazy, and they look predominantly at what the average quarterback yield has been, and they just take that number, and that's roughly where they set the line. There's so many factors that aid Tannehill here. And the whole world's watching Derrick Henry. I think the savvy play is to go with this passing game. What do you think?
I like it. I think this is – it's the highest total on the board this week by a pretty long shot, by over a touchdown, 57.5. Yeah. And if you want to bet under, good luck, man. With that defense that Kansas City has, this thing has 31-28 all written.
Titans win this game outright.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm with Paul. Wrong team's favorite here.
Yeah, I like the Titans in this spot, too. Another, I think, a very fascinating matchup, and maybe the best matchup of the weekend, even though it's not the closest line, Paul, is Bengals at Ravens. You've got a six-point line, 6.5 in some spots. Lamar Jackson has been just unbelievable this year. But, I mean, Ja'Marr Chase is now the favorite to win Offensive Rookie of the Year. He's been great with Joe Burrow. So Joe Burrow passing yards a little higher than Tannehill in that mid-250s range. Looking at that Ravens secondary, do you think this is a spot for Joe Burrow to flourish on Sunday?
I think too many people are going to look at what the Ravens did last week granted, masterfully and shockingly holding Justin Herbert in check. Congratulations for doing that. But when I look at the rest of the balance of their season against capable quarterbacks, Derek Carr, Patrick Mahomes, and Carson Wentz, capable quarterbacks, the average yardage is 393 yards against those three guys that the Ravens are allowing. 393. My line on Joe Burrow is 254. I got 150 yards of wiggle room here. I think too many people are looking at just last week's game and thinking this is suddenly a shutdown Ravens secondary. I think, and I'm not getting anything away from what they did last week to Justin Herbert. There are great plays all over the field for Joe Burrow. You've got Ja'Marr Chase, rookie of the year, the deep ball threat. It's fantastic. But not only that, you've got T. Higgins with a great matchup on the outside against Anthony Averett. That's a plus matchup. His tight end, C.J. Uzomah, has got a good matchup. The Ravens have allowed the fourth most tight end yards. There's so many ways to yardage here. Tyler Boyd, so many ways to yardage for Joe Burrow. I like the over 254 with plenty of wiggle room. This looks like a nice opportunity. And again, I think people are looking paying too much attention to last week's game.
At Paul Charchi is where you can find Charch on Twitter. Check his website out, guillotineleagues.com. He is the CEO of that website. There you hear him all over the place in the great Twin Cities and here on VSiN every Thursday morning with Mitch and Paul. All right, before we let you run and enjoy your Friday evening there in the great state of Minnesota, let's go to a pretty big spread. Chicago's visiting Sean's former team, the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, and Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. Looking at around 220 or so at DraftKings right now, maybe shop around, might find a little bit lower than that, maybe somewhere in the high teens. But is this a spot for the rookie to get some yardage with a pretty banged-up secondary in Tampa?
Yeah, and I think you hit on one of the key points, the banged-up secondary. But let's talk Fields for a second. What's suppressing this number so much is that Fields never passes. He averages 21 passes per game, which is lower than any starter in the NFL. But here comes Tampa. And nobody runs on Tampa. Everybody passes. They see double the 21 passes, the most per game, 42 average passes against them per game. Fields is not going to sit at 21 in this game. You can't run on Tampa, and especially now with your third string running back, Khalil Herbert. They're going to pass. They're going to have to pass, even if Matt Nagy and Bill Lazor doesn't like it. They're going to have to pass. They're going to get Fields into the 30s in his passes, and when he does that, man, there's positive matchups in this secondary. Allen Robinson and Darnell Mooney are really, really good. Robinson's awesome. Keep in mind, and you alluded to the secondary problems. They have Jamel Dean, who is an okay cornerback. Everybody else is just hot garbage. You've got the injury to Richard Sherman. He's not going to play, and he was filling in for the injured Carlton Davis, who is not going to play. Their slot corner, Sean Murphy Bunting's been out all year. Some guy, an unrestricted free agent named D. Delaney, is going to be on the field trying to guard Allen Robinson. Dee Delaney's allowed a passer rating of 150 since he's hit the field this year. Great opportunity. We're taking the over on Justin Fields.
There it is. Charts, go enjoy yourself a Friday night. Thank you, sir, as always.
Thanks, my friends. We'll talk to you in a week or so.
There you go. At Paul Charchian on Twitter. Humans in studio next right here on the Nightcap.